This is the Deep in the Weeds podcast. I'm Anthony Huckstep. From time to time, we're going to catch up with the people who have shared their story on the show. Last time, we caught up with Catherine Russick. She was driving all over the Victorian countryside, delivering ready-to-heat meals instead of feeding people in her beloved restaurant, Colenso. Like many, life is a little different. Catherine, how are you going?
It's lovely to speak with you today. I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, I'm good. We're good tucked up here in Kyneton.
It feels like a couple of years ago that we last spoke on the episode that we recorded, and a lot's changed since then. Regional restaurants are allowed to open up again. How are things for you at the moment? How do you feel about that?
Oh, look, we call it molasses time when you say it's, you know, when was it? And it's just like one big sort of swirl, isn't it? Oh, look, I feel great that regional is allowed to open. Of course, my thoughts are with our counterparts who are so close by under a very different regimen of regulations, which put the goalposts sort of for now out of reach. I mean, they're quite, metro's in a very different circumstance. But that said, there's still so many things for regional to get our heads around. I'm thinking, you know, as soon as accommodation starts being booked, are we going to have the capacity to service people that are going to visit? Will there be enough forethought to say, oh, when we're staying in, you know, name a beautiful regional Victorian town, I'll choose Kyneton, but when we're staying in Kyneton, have we organised somewhere to dine? And I fret a bit because I'm thinking the audience may not have made or had time to make the adjustments that we've had time to consider, and that is that, you know, yeah, you need to book. Yeah, you've got 2 hours. Yeah, there's only 10. You know, it's so without a doubt, it's a juggle, and it's a juggle that I haven't entered into because I'm not open. And I'm trading, and I've continued to trade since March 21. But that I still feel, and we have dates and we have plans to open, but I still feel quite not cautious in terms of keeping everyone safe and well, like it was so much in lockdown two and in the beginning. More that I need to know that I can manage customer expectations to a standard that I'm comfortable with and keep our crew, you know, motivated and feeling like it's fun. I want to open the doors and have some fun. And I'm not so sure that we're at that stage yet.
Well, a lot has changed since we last caught up, including a second lockdown. What's changed for you during this period?
Nothing, because I didn't open. So I'm a tiny small business that's been doing it for a long time, and I figured I can't afford to do this over. If we open, like I do have the figures of how much it costs me to open to standard, and I chose not to do that, partly because we've been so, it has been overwhelming support from our, what are now subscribers or our members. What do you do when you've developed a whole other audience? So those are the customers that we now deliver to. And our format is quite different. We're not, you know, people go, oh, you're doing delivery. And it's like, yeah, it's a little bit different. It's a subscription meal service. It's $225. So it's roughly a sort of, it's a one beautiful package that will see you through a really enriched week of eating at your place. So it's a little, our format has been quite different. And so now that we have hundreds of subscribers, I can't just go, I can't pivot even though I loathe that word, because I was just improvising and flying by the seat of my pants. I'm no pivoter. I'm just, what are the resources? What could we make from this, you know? And so I can't, one, I don't improvise in the dining room. And what do I do with those customers that have been purchasing beautiful subscriptions week in, week out for months? I can't just say, oh yeah, we're not doing that because we're opening the dining room. Like all operators are in a really tricky situation. You know, it's a tricky time. It's a bet each way kind of thing. So we're really busy working on the things that we can maintain. So we'll maintain our subscription service. We are opening the dining room in October, and we are going to do that. I want to take the opportunity. We've all been talking about doing things differently. Well, we're going to do things differently. And then we've also, because I'm now the owner of the world's cutest refrigerated van, I'd like to put that little resource to work. So I'm also planning a venue menu. So we've had a lot of people with, unfortunately, in regional Victoria, there's great outdoor spaces with facilities attached, whether it be our cellar doors or people with beautiful farm or accommodation properties. And so I've put together a little outdoor or your venue and we come to you. So I've put together a little package where we can show up in the world's cutest refrigerated van and light the charcoal barbecue and away we go. So now I've got sort of these three pillars of, to navigate. And still really have, I think when I spoke to you last time, I think I was dreaming of Christmas and, Christmas is underway here at Colenso, so we've got that ready to roll out and we'll be doing that with a to eat at home offering. And now I'm really, I'd be dishonest if I didn't say I'm really worried about March. I'm really, for some reason, and I think it's got to do with how everyone fares, not just me, it's or our business, it's how everyone's business fares come that those financial sort of deadlines of JobKeeper finishing and just all those massive economic changes that everyone will be required to manage. And, of course, I'm worried. I don't want to have worked this hard for this long to see us falter. So I'm really busy enriching the offering.
One of the things you mentioned a bit earlier was that yearning to have fun again in the dining room, but you've been having fun as well with some collaborations with the model that you're working on at the moment. Can you tell us about the collaborations you've had with chefs?
Oh, yeah. Because we've built this new business called To Eat at Home, one of the things I thought, well, let's put To Eat at Home through its paces and open up the platform to another chef. So, yeah, that's nice that you know about that. So Tom Serafian from Bar Saracen, just a I don't know whether he's a chef or an alchemist, because his food's just so beautiful. And our guests were just beside themselves with what arrived and the richness of flavours. And it was just really lovely to have a chef that's younger than me from the CBD, and just to really, we had so many good conversations and sort of meaningful conversations about the industry, about career development, about, what's next. Like, I really try and put my brain in the head of my colleagues in town and just think, wow, how would I be feeling about my next 5 years? Or, my next 5 years are very different to someone in their 30s next 5 years. But it was we had our biggest week for To Eat at Home. It was just a massive subscriber response, and we're just really fortunate to have that. The model has become a community supported restaurant, not unlike community supported agriculture, how that works. They want to see our audience want to see us here, and they keep participating in ways that surprise me, whether it be beautiful gifts or care packages or holidays. It's our subscribers that have actually come up with brilliant ways to use what we do.
When we last caught up, you mentioned that change was ahead for you and you were excited about the opportunities for a change in what you do. And only moments ago you said it's time to stop talking about changing things and actually doing them. Do you have more clarity about what the restaurant model will be when you move forward and all the restaurants are open again?
Sure, I do, Anthony. We plan to move to a model, or we have moved to a model where our customers are our members, really. And I don't want it to sound like it's an exclusive club. All you need to do to be a member is have food delivered to your door by a tweet at home. But when we open the dining room will be offered to our members initially, first. And that's an interesting, and again, I really want it, that's not coming from a place of exclusivity. It's coming from a place where it means that there's a known quantity in terms of who's joining us. And that feeds into, and I've avoided talking about the regulations around the times that we live, but I do not want people coming to my door and having to fill out their address and phone. Like, so it takes care of a lot of paperwork for people to have booked and prepaid before they join us in the dining room, because it allows us to have thorough contact tracing without it being making an appearance in our dining room that we actually have to collect that kind of information about our guests. So there's a few elements of why it makes so much sense. I probably committed to myself about 3 months into these times where I decided that I would no longer work the kitchen wondering whether people might like to join us for dinner. So now I will only open our dining room when it's fully subscribed. And I don't look around and say, oh, that they should do that, or, you know, it wouldn't necessarily work for my city counterparts, and it probably wouldn't work for someone that had been only had their doors open for a few months or 8. But this is year 12 for Colenso, and we do have, I mean, one of our resources is that we do have a very supportive audience base, and that we can contact them and we can keep them really up to date with what we're doing. And so we plan to move into 2021 with seasons. And you partake in a season at Colenso, not unlike you'd partake in a season with a theatrical or musical venture.
It's been a challenging time for many people, but people have been inspired to move in different directions. Has this reinvigorated you as a restaurateur?
Yeah. I mean, people have asked me, oh, would you have done all these things that you're doing at the moment without you know, being really under the pump to act? And of course, I've probably wanted to do things differently, and I'd been moving in a way that, I do a lot of things differently in terms of how I buy my food, or in terms of the contact I have with people that grow food. There are things that I have been. I think I've been working towards doing things differently for a long time, but this has definitely motivated me to motivated me to enact that at a pace that I otherwise wouldn't have chosen. But that said, our audience needs to be prepared to come with us on that, and there's never been a time like now for the preparedness of your audience to be on board with you. Like, I think it was Gabrielle Hamilton from New York that said, I think I was reading a New York Times article, and she had said, you know, does the world need my little restaurant? And I've had those thoughts, you know, does the world need Colenso? Well, no, it doesn't. But would my audience or my customers to be able to continue to dine here in the future? And that's an emphatic yes. So, you know, and do I enjoy it? Yeah, the world, it may not need it, but we definitely want these types of businesses, and I'm planning to keep mine upright and sailing.
When we last spoke, you did have your eye on Christmas, and you've also brought it up again now. What are you most looking forward to that period of time, even if it is still a at-home model?
I can't wait to see how beautiful the panettones are. I can't wait to put little notes or little treats in people's boxes or bags to sort of and a gift. I was driving here thinking, oh, what will I? Last year I did beautiful boozy prunes as a little jarred gift, but I'll think of something that's a beautiful addition. It'll be really lovely going to people's homes. Like our service is not like it's not like we go in and make ourselves at home. Don't get me wrong, but they're known now that we've been delivering to these homes for quite a while. It'll be a really lovely, like, you know, you call out, you walk down the garden path, it'll be a festive mood. So I'm looking forward to making it to Christmas, I guess. I when I spoke to you, I would have been it would have been a goal that it's like, will we get there, you know? So I think I'm looking forward to being in the van and waving and, yeah, being on board for business, being open for business, being trading. I mean, I think I mentioned to you that one thing I realised I wanted to keep doing was I like working. Working suits me down to the ground. So the idea that we'd have had to stop or that we couldn't trade, I think that was something I was quite fearful of, actually. And so it's lovely to have stayed, you know, stayed busy, stayed with my little crew here.
Well, Catherine, it's lovely to catch up with you again. It's always great to catch up with you, actually. You're such a joy, and we've loved having you on Deep in the Weeds. And last time I said we'll look forward to catching up with you, I feel like we might actually do it for a third time, perhaps around Christmas or just after, and see how that all went.
Oh, how gorgeous. Well, I'm really appreciating hearing from my colleagues, and I'm very grateful to have the podcast or have the several podcasts that I'm just loving hearing from how people are managing. And that's very inspiring. So thanks for your part in that too. It's been great.
Well, keep in touch, and we'll catch up and talk again soon.
Will do. Cheers. Thank you.
This is the Deep in the Weeds podcast. I'm Anthony Huckstep. Stay tuned as we share the stories of Australia's HOSPO community, suppliers and producers in search of hope during this pandemic. Special thanks to executive producer Rob Locke for making this all happen. Follow us on Instagram at Deep in the Weeds Podcast or email us at podcast@deepintheweeds.com.au. Stay safe and be well.